As I turn our attention to our first topic this afternoon, there are many of us, many South Africans, that are switching to energy-efficient appliances, hoping to see a drop in the electricity bills, especially with more price hikes that's on the way. But what if those power-saving upgrades aren't actually saving you as much as you think? On the line right now with me is Dr. Andrew Dixon, who's the engineering executive at CBI Electric Low Voltage, joining me over the phone to talk to us a little bit more about this. Dr. Dixon, thank you so much for the time. How are you?
Afternoon, Brad. Well, thank you, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Lovely to have you. We'll make this conversation available as a podcast. Let's start with this, shall we, Dr. Dixon? Why do you think so many households upgrade to energy-efficient appliances but still don't see that much of a difference in their monthly electricity bill?
So, Brad, I hear this conversation often in passing, in lines at shops, etc., where people have installed solar, they've moved to efficient appliances, lights, everything else like this, and they still complain their electricity bill keeps going up. And it's one of those funny things. It's actually got a paradox around it called Jevons, which looks at, as we acquire more efficient things, we tend to use them more. So if I have an appliance that is energy efficient and I know I'm saving money because I'm not using my stove or my oven, I actually end up using it more. And so the net saving on the one side by not using the oven is made worse by the length of time I'm running the energy efficient appliances. And so my bill doesn't actually change.
Talk to us about that paradox again. What is it called? Jevons or Jevons?
Jevons paradox.
Just break it down fast in simple terms, Doctor.
So this was came to light over a century ago, where as we transitioned out of using gas and sort of conventional methods to light and heat, and we started using electricity, instead of us using less of it and saying, you know what, traditionally, let's say I had one candle, and one candle was enough to light my room, and I could work with that. I now have an incandescent light, and I've got electrical power entering my house. So instead of just having one light, I now can buy two. So I buy two. And you can see how the snowball effect. So, you know, in the not-so-distant past, we probably all had either a 60-watt or 100-watt globe as a light in each room. Nowadays, everyone goes towards these energy-saving downlights. But we don't have one downlight. We don't have two. We generally have 20 or 30. And we also forget, because we think, oh, well, light is good and light is available. And it's only 5 watts per globe. So I'll run my lights for longer. I mean, I grew up in a household where my father would shout at me if I left the light on in a room because it cost money.
Yeah.
But we've kind of forgotten that these days. So we leave that light on. And a good case in point here was actually China saw this in a massive way with air conditioning units. So they went to more efficient air conditioning units. And instead of people then only running them for really the hottest time of the day, they were now leaving them on for the full day or even 24/7. And so, yes, it's become far more efficient an appliance, but my energy consumption actually remains the same, or in some cases, even worse, goes up.
Doctor, what are some of the common habits in our homes that sort of quietly push electricity use back up again? What would you say?
So again, as per the paradox, it's just we tend to overuse the appliances now. We have these access to items that we think are far more efficient. And so we are using more and more. I referenced like an air fryer earlier. A lot of homes now have an air fryer because it seemed to be useful. But in fact, I run the air fryer probably for 2 hours while I cook a meal because I'm putting everything through the air fryer. Now, there's a convenience factor. Don't get me wrong. An air fryer is a wonderful tool. I have one. I think it's great. But in the past, I would have turned on my oven, cooked whatever meal I wanted for an hour, and turned it off. Whereas now, because of the size of the basket within the air fryer, I have to use it for longer. So it's those elements. It's also we have more appliances. We have more electronics. Everything needs power, our devices of all manner of means, our computers. And though individually those power supplies have become better, in the past, you know, you had one computer for the family. Now, each person has a laptop. And you can see how this just compounds.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just in closing, Doctor, if buying efficient appliances isn't enough on its own, what practical steps can households take to actually lower their bills?
So this is a passion project of mine is how do we actually become more efficient in what we use? But as an engineer, and there's many people who are accountants out there who like to run the numbers, you have to know what those numbers look like. Mm. And so in order to do that, getting your bill at the end of the month doesn't help. You need more than just your bill at the end of the month. The joys is we have IoT devices. And I mean, these have been in the market now for seven years now, at least, in a variety of shapes, sizes, and costs, which means it's accessible for the average homeowner to get hold of these. And I highly recommend you do, because once you can start identifying and seeing what's happening, you can then start to control. But without knowing what the data actually looks like, besides the bill at the end of the month going, oh no, and then Eskom's going to push up the tariffs again, their costs again by another 18% over the next 2 years, you don't want to be stuck in the situation where you're going, now what do I do? So go out, get yourself smart meters. Any measurement device that connects to your phone is fantastic because it gives you that visibility. And the funny thing is, once you've got that visibility, the ability for you to say, what? My house is drawing this right now? No, we've got to switch things off. What's drawing that? And so you can start at the basics, start at your income, but then you can roll this down to appliance level. But again, it's up to what people can afford, what people want to do. But you have to know what your actual consumption looks like. And then you can start to change your habits, and those habits will then bring down those costs. Or in the case where we get increases from Eskom and the like, at least we can keep that cost base flat.
Dr. Andrew Dixon, engineering executive at CBI Electric Low Voltage, thank you so much again for this conversation this afternoon, Doctor. We appreciate it. We wish you everything of the best, and we'll talk to you very soon again.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye for now.
Cheers.
That's the doctor on the phone with us this afternoon, and the whole conversation was really about helping us understand what really makes that difference when it comes to cutting electricity costs, something that affects each and every one of us. It's Casey Driving. It's right here with me, Brad.